If you've been really craving just creating a very aligned vision with your business, so that way you can align with your team and the overall growth of the company, then this episode is for you. During this episode, I'm going to be interviewing one of my lovely students who's taken both Kickoff with Asana and my Breakthrough program, who is really just seriously shine through. She has done some incredible things with her firm and just continues to grow and expand her company. And now she's got more team members and she's hiring more people and aligning herself with her mission. And one thing that really just I absolutely love that we talked about in this episode is how she really sat down and took a lot of time to really think through her long-term vision and actually translated this to her team and how it really helped them to grow as a team together and continue building the business into exactly what she wanted. In this episode, we're going to dive into so many different topics. And one of my other favorite things is she totally implemented an internal training program that we actually teach our students inside of Breakthrough. And it is so incredible because she's going to be sharing with you how much easier it is for her every single time that she hires new team members, that she doesn't have to do any of the training now that she has this internal training program. So we're going to be talking about aligning your vision with your team, also making sure that you are on the right path with your business, no matter what stage that you're at, and really just like letting go and honing in on like trusting your team with that long-term vision. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Lori and me. Do you ever feel like if you had actionable systems in place that it can actually take your practice to the next level? Can you imagine the freedom you'd gain from finally getting everything out of your head and into a system that can help you move things on autopilot? Do you ever feel like you want to hire help for your practice, but you just don't know where to start? Trust me, I get it, and you're not alone. But it doesn't have to be this way. You're kick-ass at doing the bookkeeping and accounting work. There's no doubt about that. But you struggle to maintain the systems and operations of your business. Am I right? But don't worry, that's where I come in, the workflow queen. I'm going to guide you on how to implement tech, systems, and automation in your practice so you can scale bigger, hire better, and break through to the next level. I can't wait to support you here on the Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host, Alyssa Lang. Hey everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode. I'm so excited because this is such an amazing student that I have that like is in my world. She's just a bundle of joy and happiness. And I'm just so grateful that she's one of those people who I get to interview here on the podcast. I was so pumped because I asked all of my Breakthrough students if anybody wanted to nominate themselves to talk about their experience in Breakthrough and their journey. And I was totally going to tag this lovely guest if she didn't nominate herself because she's gone through some crazy transitions in her business. And I just love what she's doing. So without further ado, thank you so much, Lori, for being here today. Please feel free to introduce yourself.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm having a bit of a fangirl moment just talking to you. So my name is Lori DeWitt, and I am actually from Western Canada. I live in Calgary, Alberta, and I started my bookkeeping business after I finished my maternity leave with my first baby, and that baby is almost 16. So I've been doing this for a long time, but the vision for my business started shortly after my husband and I got married. And I worked at an accounting firm and we were driving out camping. And I said, we were just talking and driving through the fog to the mountains. And I said, you know, someday I want to have a business, a bookkeeping business where women can come and go and work as they please and work around their family. And someone reminded me of this last fall. And I was like, holy smokes, it's here. It's here. Yeah. I didn't even think about it, but it's here. So.
Oh, how exciting. And you service only all of Canada, correct? Not all of Canada or only a certain part of Canada?
I just work with businesses in my province.
So what you were saying was that you service people from your province. So if you want to pick up from there.
Yeah. So I just service small business owners in Calgary. I do have some personal tax clients that live in other provinces. I do actually have some bookkeeping clients in the northern part of the province that I've never met. And that's the beauty of being able to do this job remotely is that you don't have to see people face to face.
You're like, is that a good thing? Or like, you don't want to see the people face to face?
Well, some of them. No, but it shows you how flexible we can be and how we can meet needs of people. Like one of my clients that lives in the north, she's a welder and she works on the oil pipelines. So she doesn't even live, you know, she lives in a really small town. So she just doesn't have the resources available to her, right? That someone in a big city would.
Oh yeah, that's well, props to her. I mean, she's welding. That's amazing. I've always wanted to learn how to like weld, but that's probably not a
She's
new
cool.
another hobby for another day. So I want to like kind of take a step back to what you were talking about, the mission of the business. That one of your big things, like, can you repeat again what it was? I know the generalized context, but what is your mission for the people coming to work for you? Rewrite that part.
So I wanted to have a business that initially it was women, but I just hired my first guy, so I don't want to limit to just
Of course.
females. But so many times mothers stay home to raise their families, or that's the quote unquote the traditional way of doing things. And yet women, they're so intelligent and bright, and they have such passion and so much to give still. And there's so many women that, then they sell a direct sales business because they want to do something. They still want to earn money for their family and they want to meet other people. And so when I worked in public accounting, all of the clients that I had, the business clients, always said to me, "Do you have a good name of a good bookkeeper?" And that's when I realized there's a gap and I can fill that gap. So when I was on maternity leave, I said to my husband, "I'm going to do this, and so that I can stay home with our first child." And he's like, he was so nervous, and he's like, "Do you think you could possibly, potentially replace your EI income?" Which in Canada, that's called employment insurance. That's what you get when you're on maternity leave. And I was like, "Yes, I'm pretty sure I can replace my $400 a week EI, dear." Thank you.
You're
And
like, look at
so,
me now.
And at the time, we did not know this, but our daughter has some major special needs and medical complexities. And so this business has allowed me to be here with her, to take her to therapies, to take her to the hospital whenever we need to go. And my clients know if I'm having a hospital day, I'm having a hospital day, and their work will still get done. So it's been the best thing for our family. And now that I've started hiring people, and everyone's at a different age and stage of their life, but all of my team, they still want to contribute, and they just don't want to sit idly at home. They're not ready for retirement. Some of my teams, they just want part-time jobs to be use their brains, right? It's great.
I love it. And it's funny that you were saying that maybe it's changed with at first it was for women and now it's expanded over to some of the men that you do are starting to hire. I think that's okay. I think we start off with our mission being one way, but it's just like us as human beings, we evolve and it starts to change and we start to adapt and we start to bring on new opportunities for new people and different people. So I just love that. I think me and you, I think this is why I've always been drawn to you. I just love you so much. Is because we do have very similar underlying missions for what we do, especially for our team, because I'm the same with like, I want them to have the opportunity to be able to work from wherever. When life happens, I want to be of support in some capacity. The reason this was instilled on me actually is when my brother got diagnosed with cancer and he was. I don't, stationed is not the right word, but I can't think of the right word I'm trying to say. But he was put at the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. And at that time, we were living in somewhere called San Dimas, and it was about an hour and a half of a drive just to go to CHLA. Well, my dad's job that he worked for at that time when my brother had cancer was not really allowing him to have as much freedom and flexibility at that time. It really wasn't a thing to have like virtual positions. It's very physical and whatnot. And so I saw my dad, how much it really hurt him to not be able to go and show up as much as he wanted to. And my brother ended up passing. So it hit him even harder. And so I said that if I ever had a business, I was going to make sure that people had an opportunity. When you have a depressing day, you've got anxiety personally, I'm going to tell you to take the day off. You're going to be paid because, like, I just wish more individuals with the opportunity to host teams have like what me and you have with our mission. Because usually, unfortunately, that mission comes from having a personal experience, and it's usually not the best, but at the same time, it creates more beauty for other people.
Yeah, it's been a gift to be a work from home mom. And my daughter was one when I started my business, and then I had my second baby, and I would have him in my I have a big walk-in closet here beside me in this bedroom, and I'd put his crib in there and he'd nap, and then I'd work, and it was great. It was
I
great.
love it. I love it. Well, I love that you have this like deep-rooted desire of the way that you would build things. So how did you get into my world? I know we talked about that before we hit record, but how did you get started in my world? Where were you at in business? What was going on? If you want to just share any of that insight.
So I first found you, or you came up as an ad on my Facebook page of how to write a workflow in November of 2021. So it's been 2 and a bit years. At that point, my friend had been working for me. She'd started working for me like in spring of that year as a bookkeeper. And I truly believe that anyone can learn bookkeeping. This is not rocket science. I have added caveats to that. You have to be a specific, you have to be have skills to do this, but anyone can learn it. If you don't want to, don't try. That's the bottom line, right? And so at that point, since that was my first hire, and so I had spent that year trying to get all this knowledge out of my head. And so when this workflow week
Challenge.
workshop happened, I was like, oh, this is like gold. I need this. So my mom took it with me. And at that point, my friend had quit. And I was just looking for a new person. And this, my next hire had come along. And I'm like, okay, if I'm hiring someone who's a complete stranger to me, who doesn't even know me, it's even more imperative because they don't speak Lori, right? That we get this written down. And so it took what I had already started, and then it was like, okay, I'm on the right track, and this is how I can use Asana to project manage. And so I bought your Kickoff with Asana class, and I think you had just started your first breakthrough, and at that point you were cohorting it, and I knew I wasn't ready for that course yet or that workshop, so I waited until last year when I had to sit my husband down and say, I am doing this, much to
Is
his
happening.
nerves.
I totally get it. I think, especially with breakthrough, as you know, it's an investment. It's not, and also the downfall of you is you are in Canada. So the unfortunately the conversion rate was it was it's scary. Like it is
It was
a
30%.
which is crazy, which I don't even want to go down the rabbit hole of like conversions and all the different things. It's a whole other topic for another day. But I remember having a consult because, as most of you who have been listening to my podcast know, that I offer free consult calls because I would truly tell you if you're not ready for something, because I don't want anybody to waste their time nor money. We work really hard for what we do. The last thing you need is to waste money on something that you're not actually going to do, right? So we got on the consult call, and that was literally almost like a year ago.
It was
And
April. It was right in the
really,
middle of tax season for me, and my husband was like, "You are nuts." And I'm like, "No. If there's a sale, I will buy it now. We'll start at May 1st. Everything will be fine." And he was like, "We were almost breakthrough divorcees."
breakthrough divorces. Well, I'm really happy that that wasn't the case because that would make me really sad. He's like,
No.
"I'm doing it." You're like, "I'm doing it."
So we talked it out, and he finally understood my vision, right? And he never says no to me. So for all the listeners, we're good. He's
You're
my
like, we're
rock. I
healthy.
adore him.
I would love to kind of unpack that because you're not the first person who has gotten on a consult call with me with I want to call it a money objection. And I'm not saying that what you said was because deep internal you didn't believe in what we did. It was more like you've got family things and you've also got, a child that you have been very honest about some things that you guys have to work through with them. And I'm only assuming that funds need to go in certain places and be allocated correctly. And a lot of listeners are like that too. So I'd kind of like to unpack like walking through what that process was like to really get him on board. Because like you said, he's gonna say yes, no matter what, he's gonna be in full support. But what was it that was so convincing of what we do? And it was probably a part of the fact that you already knew I can deliver from kickoff of Hey, listener, just wanted to quickly interrupt this episode today to ask you, have you been trying to find a better solution to actually taking payments from your clients? Then boy, do I have a solution for you. One of my absolute favorite pieces of tech is Pluto. Pluto is such a game changer in your business. It really helps you to allow you to be able to take payments easily from your clients through ACH. They also take credit card as well, but they have so many different options. One of the big perks to using something like Pluto over something like QBO and all the other options that we have out there for invoicing is because because it is way more cost effective and it has saved me thousands of dollars on those fees that we get taken out for invoicing our clients. So we no longer use QuickBooks Online in order to invoice our own clients. We now have migrated over to Pluto. And if you want to learn more about Pluto and check it out, it is amazing. They make such a seamless process for our clients to be able to add the ACH information, to ask them to authorize us to be able to take the automatic payment every single month, and saves us a ton of money in fees. You're just going to go to workflowqueen.com/Pluto. That's workflowqueen.com/Pluto to learn more.
I think what it was, I mean, I really respect him. You know, he's a part owner of my business, even though I run the show. He's just on the registry. But I really respect his perspective and his insight. And he said, what can you get through this that you couldn't get through a local coach? Then it was a scramble. And I used to do bookkeeping for coaches and I called them. It was a scramble because the time was ticking on your sale. And I had to make a decision very quickly. So then I went to him and I said, okay, these are the facts of what I would get with a local coach and how much it would cost. And this is, I said, I'm already in this platform. I'm already in this community. It's going to enhance what I'm already doing. And I don't have to try and convince a local coach that this is the direction for me. And I've done bookkeeping for clients who have participated in group coaching. And it's, I mean, this is potentially going to sound offensive to people, but it's almost like a cult in the activities that they have to do and the money that they have to spend. Mm-hmm. And there's no, I have, as their bookkeeper, have seen no business benefit. It's like a club where they go to like the speed cart, the go-kart racing, and they smoke cigars and they pat each other on the back of how well they're doing. And I'm like, you don't see the benefits of the business. I'm sorry, but that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I totally get it. It's so funny because I also work with coaches and course creators. So a lot of them join masterminds, join big, large groups and spend thousands of dollars, like $30,000, $20,000. I totally get it. I am one of those people who also am in some sort of a mastermind that is a lot. But for me, like, I totally agree with you in every capacity because there are some people that they join, there's literally no benefit. It's like if you go into that not wanting a benefit and you just truly want peer collaboration, I think that's okay. But at the same time, like, if that's not your intention, you go in and there's no result, it's like you literally just wasted so much money.
Yeah. And, you know, my team at that point in April was growing. I'd hired two more people. And so when I looked at, you'd sent me the outline for the course and it was building your corporate culture and your structure and your policies and your mindset, you know, on the outline. And I showed it to him and then he was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's, you know, he's an engineer, so he thinks linearly, and you have to come at that with facts and not emotion. And I'm a mix of both.
Yeah.
You know, accountant, engineer. This is like, we talk in spreadsheets to each other.
Talking spreadsheets. That's how we get freaky, is in spreadsheets, people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
that. We had a great wedding planning spreadsheet, man. I can't remember, but it was like beautiful.
Oh my God. That makes me so happy. My little heart. We have these little promotional t-shirts that we do at certain events that we go to for sponsorships for my firm. And it says ladies in the streets, freaks in the spreadsheets. And everybody dies. Like we sold out of the t-shirts last time because like we didn't even sell them. They were like given away, but like, because all the place, the people that we were sponsoring for, they had a lot of people who loved spreadsheets. So it just like really made sense for them. And they just like loved it so much. So I am all about that spreadsheet life.
Yeah. That's
how we... Right. How we do it. Yeah. So I kind of want to talk about like the signing up versus the action, because I think like you can convince people all day, you can do it yourself, you can be convinced, but I think the action is the key part that I think a lot of people, have you ever met people or been one of those people? Cause I've totally been this person too, that sees something and is like, if I just get that, it's going to change my life, but I don't want to put in the work. I just want the results. Like sometimes we just want to buy the thing or hire the person who's going to solve the problem. But that's not really how breakthroughs built. Like you as the business owner do have to put in a lot of work, or if you're not going to put in the work, then you at least have to have an ops person inside a breakthrough with you. So I'd love to talk about the action that you've taken because you haven't just signed up. I just talked to someone today who's been in Breakthrough for a year, did their strategy call with me today, and they were like, I literally haven't touched it. It's you have been a key student because you have taken everything and you have implemented. So I'd love to hear about the action that you've taken since Breakthrough.
Well, that's who I am. Like, I don't do anything halfway. And I think that's what scared my husband because he knows me. And he knew that as soon as I got it, I would just run with it, right? So you had allowed us to have two team members do the course with us. And so I put my one bookkeeper that I had at the time in it, and then my executive assistant as well. And my executive assistant has just gone through it with flying colors. They've both completed the course. I haven't, because what's happened is, I did the SOP module, and then I spent a month writing SOPs, and then it was like, oh yeah, I need to go back and finish this. And so I have this almost tunnel vision, and I just like I wrote 100 SOPs over 3 weeks, and
Jesus.
recorded looms and this and that, and it's like, whew, we've got a great SOP database now, but do I have an onboarding plan? No.
But you know what though? Like you got to pick and choose. And honestly, the one thing I really love about the way that Breakthrough was structured is it's not meant to be in order. It's not
Yeah.
meant to be. And that's what the beauty is. I think a lot of times it's funny because when I first built Breakthrough, it was actually meant to be in order. And then
Yes. Yes.
feedback came and came from other students that they were like, because we did the first round of Breakthrough, which is the one that you'd enjoy. I know this because you didn't come until after that. The first round, we only took a certain number of students and we did where we dripped out the content. So then we can kind of read the room and we can add more content and see what they needed. And we found that some people were at just different stages in their business. Like you might be struggling with mindset. Well, me, I'm just struggling with like, I need to hire a team right now. And so the way that we've structured it is the five core modules, which is mindset, offers, systems, team, and then the removability. And so it sounds like when you jumped in, you were like, systems is what I need outside of the project management system, which you already had in place from kickoff with Asana,
And so what I did is I took that kickoff with Asana and I took the systems, and it's like I blew it up on steroids, and it's amazing.
I love
It's so
it.
amazing because that's what we needed, because we had another contractor at that then coming on as a bookkeeper, and it's just like, you can get spread so thin. And then that second bookkeeping contractor, I hired her as an employee in September, and I was going through our tech, and like I was like, oh, I need to teach her this and this and this. And then I was like, light bulb, I'm gonna go to the team module of Breakthrough. I watched all the videos really quickly. I threw together a training program, and now I don't have to do that again. So now I have a little
Stop it.
training program. Yeah.
Stop.
So now I've hired two more people, and they've gone through it. So three people have now gone through my training program. And it's like, I'm telling them, I'm like, this is extremely homemade. No judgment, please. Tell me, you're not going to get some fancy made in a studio video. This is me talking. And like the gentleman that I hired, he's like, I got to know you through watching these videos. And I was like, ooh, didn't
Yes.
think of that. He's
Yeah.
because he can see my personality. He's like, you're a riot. And he's 3 weeks into his job. He's like, it's the best job ever. I'm like, oh,
I love it.
thanks.
Oh my gosh. Of all the things I've been keeping a little list of all things Lori has accomplished, like mentally in my brain as you've gone through Breakthrough, because you share a lot of your wins, which I love when you share them. And I take mental note of these things. But what you just held back this golden nugget from me that like
Oh,
you took the internal training program and you did something with it. I'm so
yeah.
proud of you.
You know what? I should send you through my internal training program.
Stop it. I'm so excited right now. This is too much for anyone who's like listening who wants some context. So this idea and concept came to me when I was hiring. I can't remember who it was. It was actually hiring at Workflow Queen. It wasn't even hiring at my firm. Anyways, at that time, I found that we had to put one of our team members and kind of like re-onboard them and retrain them. And we were in the process of hiring a new person that I was like, you know what? Every time I've ever worked for more corporate type companies, they had an internal training program, like, Target and then like Olive Garden, all these different like bigger corporations. And I was like, what if we took that same concept and built our own internal training program to help the team understand what is our business like? And without the corporate, because the corporate is like the corporatey things and like do all, you know what I mean? Like I wanted it to be personality. And so I built my own internal training program for Workflow Queen specifically. And then that's when it started to like gain traction. Other people were like, you built this program. I'm like, yeah, it's 4 weeks. My team goes through it. I don't have to train them once. The only time that we talk to them is the very beginning when we get them on the call to say, this is how you access your platform. Like, that's all you're going to get from us. And, but then we have management following up with them to make sure that they're on track and they feel confident. Well, anyways, that's when it sparked this idea to add this same training inside of Breakthrough and to talk about it. Not my training, obviously, but like the training of how to build this. And so anyone listening, that's what we give inside of Breakthrough is like this breakdown of like building this internal training program. Because if you are at that scaling phase, you are going to find yourself needing more employees and more team members. And as you do, you won't have to constantly have to train them, especially because I'm assuming they're bookkeepers, right? So that training program is geared towards bookkeeping.
Well, it's really like homemade.
I love this.
So like the first day is five or six lessons, and it's the vision, values, culture, who we
Love it.
are. And that I got right out of Breakthrough. And that we can come back to this. That was the hardest thing I have done yet with the Breakthrough works, the work I've done. And then the next sort of 2 days, it's lessons over the tech we use and how we use it. So it isn't really how to do the bookkeeping.
Oh, for
It's how
sure.
to use Asana, how to use our Slack. These are our Slack channels, and what do we use? We use OneDrive and Google Drive. So it's just sort of a little, it's the owner's manual enhanced in a training program, how we use LastPass and how do you come up with a secure password. And I remember I sent you my homework for that password, and you wrote back, "I can't believe this. I'd never thought of it." And it's coming up with a sentence, and using the first letter of each sentence is your login to LastPass, and you can change it to at symbols and exclamation marks. An E can become a three. So you can write, "Lori is awesome. I love her so much," on your wall, and that is your the first letter of that sentence, of each word in that sentence, is your master password. No one who comes into your office is gonna think that's your password,
Unless I come into your office and look at little slogans around your office, I'm gonna figure this out.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a great, I love that. Yes, it's so funny. I mean, the internal training program, I'm telling you, was probably one of the most heaviest things on my chest as the business owner as well. And so seeing the breakthrough students who have implemented the training program are like at so much more peace because we're the same. We don't teach like how to do the bookkeeping. It really is vision, value. Like here's how to create an SOP. You know, here's all about Notion. And like, because how Lori uses Asana is going to be wildly different than me. Even though she's taken my program directly related to how to use Asana, you still have adapted it to yourself. And what you expect from your team might be different than what I would expect from my team. And so I think these internal training programs, like a good message for anyone to hear is that like, it gives you the opportunity to be consistent because I think that when we get on these calls with these new trainees that we're trying to train and onboard, we get really distracted. We forget to even cover LastPass or forget to even talk about this on these Zooms. So if you can't create this internal training program, and that just sounds like way too much of a feat because you probably know it takes time and it takes energy and it is homemade and that's fine. If anything, just put together an agenda. Like something to keep you on track. If not, you will not be consistent. And that's what I love about the internal training programs. Videos don't have to be super long, they could be super straightforward, and they're fun once you get into the rhythm of it.
Yeah. I think I need to, and certainly keep going. Like, it's not what it could be. And then every now and then I think, oh, I need to put this in. And the guy that I hired, he's like, "Well, it says that I'm on day one, but this sheet says it's day four. So all my sequencing is out." So I'm like, oh, screw it. I don't care. It's going to
It
be,
makes them proactive, like because now they have to like
change it.
yeah.
I don't
Well, the
care.
beauty is for us, like I think in our internal training program, so every day, because we're similar, for us, it's 4 weeks of training, but every single day at the end of the day, they have like an outtake form. I don't know if did you end up taking the outtake form that we gave in Breakthrough?
I did. I used some of it. I made my own.
I love it.
Yeah.
Good. So you tweaked it. So you used it as like the inspiration, right? So what we did was we actually asked for feedback. We asked for, was there anything that was confusing or didn't connect? And that's how we were able to continuously improve the training program. Now it's like kind of down to like a T, like, cause we also have one for my firm as well. And man, it's just getting the feedback from your team. Not only that, but like, instead of waiting till someone's already working on client work to realize that they don't understand something, you're kind of catching it during their training. Cause when they're filling out those outtake forms or doing the quizzes for maybe your internal lessons, you can catch that it's not connecting for them. And so if you can nip it in the butt before, then having to wait till later, and it's just so much easier.
Yeah. It's been fun. I mean, I have no expectations on them thinking I'm this amazing person of professional video quality. It's just like,
but you know what though? Ours is the same. Like all I have is like my mic, like you, me, nobody, obviously people can't see me because they're going to see you on our page. Mm-hmm, but for me, I look crazy right now because I just had to go freaking shovel snow. Like I don't care. That's usually how I do my videos. And for anybody who doesn't want to do these videos and like feel like you have to like get ready and stuff, just film without your video on. Like there's a lot of videos that I was on camera for the internal training program. But at that time, Alyssa Truelove was working for me. And I outsourced a lot, like 75% of our internal training program to her, but she also knew the business inside and out. And so whoever you have doing it needs to also understand it, but you can involve your team as well. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. My assistant that ran through the course first would always come back to me and say, watch this video next, watch this video next. Oh, Alyssa said this, we need to do this. And so she really was the champion to push me to finish the mindset and setting the company culture module, because I had started it and it was like too hard, not doing it. We'll come back to this in a year or two.
So let's talk through that, because I know that you had just mentioned that that was the hardest part of Breakthrough, which I agree. I think a lot of times we go into any program that talks about mindset, it's like, ah, here we go again, talking about mindset and vision. It's like, we all just skip through it, but it is one of the hardest things that you can do is to think through, what do you really want from this business? Because it drives everything.
Yeah. And I think for me, it honestly, my initial vision was to replace my EI income, right? Like that was the goal. And now all of a sudden I have people.
You girl bossed way too hard.
What?
You girl bossed way too hard.
Yeah. And I was taught that being a stay-at-home mom was one of the most noble things that someone could do. And I adore my children, but I don't love them that much. I would go insane if I had to stay at home with them. They're great, but come on. Sorry.
Don't be sorry. I think this is like, you are my spirit animal.
So I needed a break. I mean, there's only so much Max and Ruby that you can take on Treehouse that you're going insane. And I would come and sit in my office and I would look up at my degree on the wall and go, I do know things. There are things up here. And like, where's Caillou's mom, right? Like she's never in any of the episodes. And any parent out there is going to know exactly what I'm talking about. High five. I see you. You will get through this stage of life. Anyway, so I never, like, it came so fast, this booming into this more success than I dreamed.
Yeah.
And it was so honestly overwhelming. And all the insecurities of who am I? Why do I deserve this? It was hard. It was really, really hard. And to sit down and then do that business audit and see, you know, like, we're really miserably failing at a couple of areas, and it was systems and it was customer service. And I thought, if we get our systems together, the customer service will come. And that's why I focused so hard on the systems, and it did. And we've gotten tons of clients since focusing on systems. And I don't advertise. This is something that I don't know if I've ever said. I have never advertised a day in my life, and I choose not to. All of our business is referrals and word of mouth through the accounting firms that we work with and the business owners that we have. So I'm very, very choosy in who I say yes to. And I've let clients go when they've gotten to the top of our skill set. And I've let clients go that don't align with our vision. And I recently fired a client a month ago, just before Christmas, that I'm like, you can't treat me this way. You cannot treat my staff this way.
Yeah.
This thank you, but be blessed. and be on your way.
Like, bye.
And, yeah. And my husband looked at me and, you know, I'm sitting there like nauseous and, you know, ready to barf. And he looked at me and he says, good for you for having a business that you're confident to say goodbye to people, because you know that it will come back. And so I think that the mindset of acknowledging that I know my stuff, of being okay with the success that I have when I don't feel like I've done anything to deserve it, was really hard. And then putting it on paper was really, really challenging. And Cassie, my executive assistant, she's like, you know it, Lori, you know your vision. And I'm like, how do I put it into words? And she says, it's inside you. And I'm like, how do I write this? So you had
like vision
four
prompts.
Pages of prompts,
Yep.
And I made myself sit and answer every single question. And some of the questions was, my answers was, this is a great question. We need to circle back to this, right? But
like
I
you're
made
talking to me or
myself,
something. Yeah.
I made myself write it out, and it ended up being 7,000 words at the end. And then from there, then I could piece it down into what our vision was.
Yeah. Something more tangible for the team. Mm-hmm. It's so funny that you say that, because I did the same exercise with my own version of vision prompts back in 2020 of March. And I went through and I wrote on many pieces of paper, like many pieces of paper, answering every single question, every single prompt, every little thing that I could possibly think of. And then it just started to flow. Like once you start answering, and then the picture comes together. Now you're like not even answering questions. Now you're actually like going into this like vision. But it's so funny because I had to pack up my house because I just bought this house and I moved like a couple of weeks ago. And in that process, I found that stack of papers and I read through it, bawling, of course, like in my office that's literally packed up. That like, I already have a really hard time detaching from the offices that I have moved from, because like you create memories, different milestones, like that I've hit in each of the offices I've owned or that I've lived in. And I've, you know, that's been my home. And man, when I saw that vision, it was just like almost all of those things were checked off, except for one of them was a boyfriend I was dating at the time that I thought was going to be around, like is not there anymore.
Yeah.
But like even down to like living in the snow, I literally did not live anywhere near the snow when I wrote that back in 2020. I had no idea I would be living where I did. It's just so, so powerful that when you just really connect to what you really want, it does come out in words. But sometimes the hardest part is the first couple steps.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was hard. So,
but you got it out and now you're able to share it with the team and
It
all
and
things.
It was, and we had a staff retreat in November, and the push was to get this vision out so I could share it with the team in November. And I knew that, and like we pulled it to this planning together in like 6 weeks to plan this thing. So it, like I already said, it was like that passion project, like was all I did for that period of time because I had to throw myself into it. But I knew if it didn't happen before Christmas, we weren't going to be able to do it till June just because of the cycle of taxes and stuff.
Yeah.
So when I shared it with the team, when I read it, I cried. Like I bawled at the, we rented a boardroom. We all live in the same city. So we went and rented a boardroom and we had a day and we had snacks and lunch brought in and gifts. And it was wonderful. But I said to them, it feels like I'm leaving my soul on the table. And because at that point I had a team of three plus me, so four, I knew that the risk of losing them was high if they could not align themselves to that vision and my values. And I thought that they would. I mean, I thought everyone's going to be okay with this, but that risk of them saying, you have a great business plan, you have a great vision, this is not for me, is there. And every subsequent hire now will be shown this prior to them getting hired, and they get to choose. So there will be a very different a relationship with the new staff post writing this vision than the existing staff, right? So that fear of potentially losing them was very high.
Yeah. But did you though?
No, I didn't lose anybody.
Yeah. Because you probably exuded your vision in a way that you just couldn't articulate. Like you couldn't explain it to people. And they probably were like a full body hell yes, like when you read it, like that they were in full alignment.
I think everyone was crying and And I asked them to sign, I mean, a non-binding thing, but just we acknowledge this, and I will do everything I can to uphold these values. And at the end the end of the day, it's my reputation that's in their hands. But I have a
Yeah.
great team. I have a great team. And
Yeah.
everyone's just as
Yeah.
crazy as I am.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, like, I feel like if you can really lay out to people what your long-term vision is and what's happening, even if you can't, if you struggle to articulate it, or even if like you don't even know fancy versions of your values, sometimes you go to people's website, they have fancy versions of them. Like, it's okay for anyone listening, if you don't have anything fancy and you don't even know the right terms or the things that you're trying to use, just having open conversations with your team about these things really realigns them and really gets them on the same page to stand behind you. And then also know that they're in alignment to know that you're going to take care of them. Because that's another thing. You're literally selling, like, you're asking someone to trade their life to come work for you. And so, how can I sell it? And so, I love what you touched on just a second ago when you were talking about how now everybody, before they're even hired, now gets to choose if this vision will align with them or not. And I think that that's where a lot of people in this industry really fail, is that they just do a generic job description that just does, here's a couple of things and here's what we do. It's like, I'm assuming you've included it somehow in your job sourcing, correct?
Yeah, so I just hired someone. I posted an ad just before Christmas on, one of the job sites, and I said who we are. So I tried to put as much this is who we are into, that paragraph that you can, that you have room for. But what was fascinating is the people's responses that I got. The guy that I hired, he was one of the first people I interviewed. I interviewed six people, and some of them were like, "You'll be a great contractor. They'll be a great contractor. This is the person for this job," and so on. And I kept coming back to two people, and I couldn't choose between the two, so I hired them both.
Good. Yeah, a lot of people do that.
And I hired the guy who was going to be a contractor to become employee, and then like the next day something happened and it's like, okay, it's time for you to become an employee, and he just laughed at me. But something about every single candidate that even though it was time had elapsed, and I would reply and say, I really respect the things you said. Could we can keep communication lines open? Because there's opportunities on the horizon, and I think that you will be a good fit for the team at some point. Every one of them has said yes. So something about either our interview or the job ad, they really want to work with me and the flexibility that I am promoting, which is part of our vision and values, right?
I love that. I love that you're sprinkling it into like all parts of even just finding and vetting people, because you really will. I mean, people can read my job description and be like, this girl's way too crazy for me. Like, see, it's like rock star, kick ass, and unicorns, and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just like too much at one time. But it's okay, because like that's gonna just push away naturally the people who are just not as fun and just want to be Debbie Downers. It's like, I don't have time for that. I don't got the energy for all that. Like, you know what I mean? So I think that this is why it's so important for anyone listening who is going through the process of hiring, that you need to try to put your personality into it, because you are a reflection of your company. Even if you're not gonna be the person that they're like talking to all the time. Maybe they're talking to a manager, because it is so key to make sure that you attract people that like you can go to bed knowing that you're confident and that you feel in full alignment with, and them to you as well. And I think that this is what creates a very unique job description, you know. Did you use the bot that we put inside of Breakthrough, or did you hire before we released the bot?
That was right before you released the bot. I sent it to you and you fed
Oh,
it
that's
through the
right.
thing. I think I was a test case. And so
Sure.
I did it. But I had also, with the search function on the Facebook group, I had found a couple other people who had said, this is my job description and job ad. And so from all of that, I pulled it together what I wanted. And my husband, I had used the word rock star because that was in one of them that from someone, you or another lady. And he's like, really, Lori? He's amazing. He goes, is this really you? And I'm like, no, but I don't know what word to use.
It just fits.
And he's like, how about happy? And I'm like, okay. And happy is my work. Happy is one of my visions, our corporate culture. That's what we have, work happy. And so that's what our secret word was happy.
Oh, that's cool. Like your secret subject line for the job app. Oh, I love that. Yes. All
We
so
changed
all
it
of
from rock star to happy because
Yep. Everyone's ours is like, I found my dream company. It's got a unicorn emoji. And that part's important because some people skip unicorn. So if they skip it, you're out. But yeah, so a lot of for anybody who's listening who's like, what the hell is everyone talking about here? So we created, I invested in hiring a company, a guy who was like a software engineer to build a custom bot for Breakthrough students only. And essentially it takes like the ways that I do my job description are probably the best way I can describe how it's built. It's like my fluffiness and all the different unique things that I do that are above and beyond most people who like have job descriptions. It takes my methodologies and essentially you can tell it what role you're looking for, what personality traits you're looking for, the amount of time that you have to hire for, and some your secret subject line, and it will spit out the job description. It does need to be reworked. Like I sent it to you. You definitely had to rework some of the things, but it doesn't get people stalled to have the excuse that like, Alyssa, I don't have time to create a job description. So now it's a lot of the heavy lifting is done. All I got to do is tweak it to make your personality stick out.
And what I'm gonna do now is, and I told all my staff this in November at their team retreat, was everyone's getting job performance reviews this month. And so I'm going to be sending the job descriptions to our junior bookkeeping team to say, okay, these are the skills that I expect now at this role, because we have people in intermediate and senior bookkeeping roles. And so I have to define what makes it the difference between each job. And so it's one of those same things with the vision and values. It's okay, it's time to write this down now. And it's time to make a policy so that people can understand why I'm pushing them to take a course, or why I need them to be really good at this skill. Well, this is your job. This is in the job description. And I feel like I'm doing everything backwards and upside down and wrong 10 ways to Sunday. But
It's
I was,
working.
it's working.
Yeah,
And
whatever's happening is working.
I hopped on one of the breakthrough coaching calls last week or the week before. I'd had a really rough morning. I hopped on, I think, for the last 20 minutes, and someone was really struggling. And I'm like, let me show you what I've done. And it really helped them. And I got off the call and I called my husband, and I'm like, I do know what I'm doing. I'm not failing. This is really encouraging. So even I got something out of it, because it was like, I am on the right track. It may feel like I'm, those little wind-up toys that you let go, and then they go in like a direction different from what you anticipated. Like, it feels like I'm a wind-up toy sometimes.
I know the feeling. I know the feeling.
So
I think
we're
a lot of
getting there.
people feel like that. Yeah. And I think that every step is always one step closer to like the end result. And the thing is, it'll never be an end. And this business journey that we're on, I feel like is so, I just love it. I'm so intrigued by people's stories and how they got to where they are and their journey because like that's so much more fun than like if we had some sort of an end result. Yes, it would be nice to have. Never have to tweak a system, never have to fix anything, just have the same consistency. It's just not, I find that our business is really truly, this is what Brooke says all the time on coaching calls and Breakthrough, that we are a reflection of our business, or our business is a reflection of us as individuals. So if our life is chaos, our business is going to be chaos. Or, and not to say that that's what it is. That sounded so
Now I
bad when
feel
it
like
came out. Well, sometimes if you feel like a wind-up toy in your real life, then maybe that's why you feel like that in your business. And that's not what I meant in any capacity. What I mean is, I can find that even though I'm not as involved in the companies anymore and I'm more detached, the company and the direction it's going does reflect based off what I want and what I desire from me, right? But when my life starts to get crumbly or messy or gets really good, things just are really great or just they're crumbly and messy. Like I find that like right now I'm at so much peace with my business, especially because we're doing what I'm calling a rebirth of my firm. We are not announcing it because I don't want anybody to steal the name, but we are going through a rebirth is what I'm like to call it, and not a rebrand. And I just feel so much at peace right now. Like I feel so in alignment, but I feel like it's because also my life is feeling aligned. And so, you know, and I think that that's just an important thing that the journey is such an experience. And I think you've done such an incredible job of like taking what's given to you and running with it, because I think a lot of people have that problem. They get stalled, they get stuck, and they get overwhelmed.
It was interesting because just the last since Saturday, you asked me to come on this podcast, and a client has asked me to speak, and I'm like, I can't do this. And my husband's like, yes, you can. And he's like, you do it all the time. And it's just, again, it's one of those natural, it's just so natural to me. It is not an effort at all. And so I don't think that that's what I'm doing when I'm doing it. It was really interesting. My dad is a really really smart business executive, and he helped me work through the vision and values. And he said to me, that which stresses you out the most is what you value the most. And I had never thought about that in a positive way. And so I was able to identify the things that really I get the most anxiety about with my team or my clients. And I turned it into, this is why it stresses me out, because I value it
You
so
just care so
much.
much about it.
And it's been such a relief to see the positive side of a stressor, right?
I like that. I'm like, I got a lot of things that stress me out. Like,
It's
maybe
so
it's
you look
good.
at it and what can you change about it, right? And one of my big things is communication. And we did the StrengthsFinder test as part of our team retreat prep. And communication, it's what, 32 or 34 items? Well, my communication was like second from the bottom. I'm like, that means I have to work really hard to communicate. And that's why it stresses me out. And therefore, that is why I value it, because it does not come naturally to me.
Yeah,
And
100%.
my whole team was like, they never would have guessed that communication was not in my top 10. And I'm like, that just shows you how hard I work to
So funny.
communicate.
My StrengthsFinder is I don't have any relationship building at all. Like, no joke. If you look at my StrengthsFinder's lineup, I'll link this below to anyone who's interested. It's really amazing because you can see like your top 5 strengths, 10 strengths. I did the full report. I think it's like 33 or 35. I can't remember the exact amount. But my top ones, like it's like competitive, strategic, analytical, like just all these things that have like zero desire to be like relationship driven across all of mine. I have zero relationship building, like, because they, you know how they put them in little buckets. And I was like, does that make me a shitty human being?
It's really funny because one of my bookkeepers, her like most of her top 10 is relationship building. And I was like, this is fascinating because she can ruffle feathers, or I mean, she can calm ruffled feathers like
Really easy.
nobody's business,
She used
be
to
it
be
a
customer
client
support.
or me. And I'm like, huh, this is fascinating, right?
Yeah. We've had team members that based off the results from StrengthsFinders, and we like deep dove into how to translate the information. We actually changed a team member's role because of StrengthsFinders when we found out that like they really excelled in like it was a communication key part. And we found that all of our other team members were very strategic in the strategy and analytical, but we needed someone who was going to be able to fit that bucket of communication because it's relationship building. And it's not to say that just because I don't have relationship building in there doesn't mean I'm not that. People are like, that's so crazy. Like, you like to talk. I'm like, but at the same time, like, I don't, and I actually really like to just solve the problem and get past the emotional part.
It was so interesting. My executive assistant, so at that time, my team was comprised of two bookkeepers, an executive assistant, and me. So four of us. So my two bookkeepers had no top five the same. It's fascinating. And I had, and the, but my executive assistant, all of her top 10 was commonality with one other person. So she is like the glue that holds us together because she has shared skill sets with each of us. And we only had one strength that we all had in that top 10 that was shared among all three of us, or all four of us. So it's really been fascinating. So this year, one of the things we do each month is we do a monthly team challenge. And we have a Slack channel called A Monthly Challenge. And It's this month because we've got three new people. We're doing a deep dive into getting to know you questions. And so, but next month we're going to start diving into our strengths. And I bought the book from the Strengths Finder for the managers or something, so that it will ask pointed questions. Okay, this is, you're reliable. What does that mean? What is your blind spot? And so that we can get to know each other on a different level.
Yeah, I love that. You should check out the guest expert session. I don't know if you know this. Brian Baker, did you check out his session?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay, so inside of the coaching call replay portal, inside of Breakthrough, there is a session by Brian Baker. So he is a StrengthsFinders expert. And essentially he did a session where he like on screen, like talked through my strengths because he needed to use somebody's as an example. And he's actually a coach. So you can hire StrengthsFinders coaches to come in with your team. And he does that with the team, which is so cool. So he talked about it. About how you want things correlating with your team. And it was very, very, very interesting. So definitely check out that guest expert replay. I think you'd really benefit from that. Very exciting. I think we covered so many things. I know we're a little bit over time, so I want to respect your time. I greatly appreciate you, Lori, for taking the time to do this. For anybody who is potentially on the fence about joining Breakthrough, who's at a similar stage as you, what would be the one thing that you would give to them or say to them to help them decide if this is the right fit for them?
I think I would say if you're on the fence, like just listen to your gut. If your gut's saying no, don't. If your gut's saying yes, do it. Sorry, hang on. Phone
Oh,
keeps
you're good.
ringing. And it, I have never regretted it. Even though, like, I'm probably 10 months in and I have not completed all of the lessons, it has been so valuable, invaluable to me in bringing consistency, clarity to how to brand even an email, templating an email, right? It's just things you just don't think about. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. So, and yes, I paid 30% more because I am in Canada and it has been totally worth it.
It's just like
So,
a testament. Well, I appreciate you, Lori, so very much for being here. And if anybody wants to reach out, get connected with you, or wants to learn more about your firm, what is the best way that people can reach out to you?
So I do not have any socials, and I was thinking about that last week as I was listening to your two girls that you interviewed, and I'm like, I don't have any socials. I'm on Instagram personally and Facebook personally, so if people find me, sure, go ahead, I'll friend you. But you can reach me at Lori, Lori, at dwpbooks.ca.
Yay. Well, very exciting. Well, thank you once again, Lori, for being here. I really appreciate you for taking the time, and I can't wait for you to hear this lovely episode.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of our Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host, Alyssa Lang, the founder and owner of Workflow Queen. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review on iTunes and share this episode with a fellow bookkeeper or an accountant on social media, and also tag me on Instagram at Workflow Queen. The more that we work together to get this out in front of other people, the better I can help to serve this industry to create more solid systems and processes. Now, go take what you learned from today's episode and apply it into your practice so you can finally give yourself the brain space and freedom that you deserve. I can't wait to see you unfold throughout your journey, and thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode. See you next time.